Today's shiur is Masechet Talmid Daf Lamed, and we will begin on Daf Lamed Amud Aleph at the new Perek Amalam Emunah. We had learnt in the previous Perek, at the end of the Mishnah, the last Mishnah we learnt in the previous Perek, that after they went through the Avodah of the Trumas Hadeshen and Hatzaz Hadeshen, they were up to doing a Goyrol. They were up to doing a lottery for the coming avoidance that had to be done in the Beis HaMikdash. Begins the Mishnah Amalahem HaMemunah. So the Memunah, Machloikis who the Memunah was, some Rishonim say that there was a special person who was given that job of being in charge of the Goyrol. Other Rishonim say that it was the Skan Kohen Gadol, the assistant Kohen Gadol, said to the Kohanim, Bohu Vefisu, let's go to the Lishus HaGazots to do a Goyrol. And as we learned in Masechta Yuma, the way the Goyal was conducted is that the Kohanim stood in a circle. One Kohen removed his mitznefes. All the Kohanim put out one or two fingers. And the Memunah, who said, now chose a number, and they started counting. And whoever that number came out by was, so to speak, the winner. Now, in Masechta Yuma, there's actually machlokes, as we're going to see, there were many positions, jobs available in the Beis HaMikdash. So one mandamer says there was a separate goyrol for each job, and the other mandamer says there wasn't a separate goyrol for each job, but one person won, and then everybody after him was given the next job. They went to the right of the winner to give all the follow-up jobs. And actually, the Gemara in the Maskana says that that's the way it was done. There wasn't a separate goyrol for every position. So the Mamuna tells them, Bova Fisu, let's do a goyrol. Mia Shaychit, who should be the one to shech the Karman Tamid? Or Mia Zoyrik, who should be the one to do the Zrikas Adam? The Mefarshim ask, that we know that Allah is Shechit Ksheir Bazar. That the shechita doesn't have to be done by a kohen. So why does our Mishnah say that there was a goyrol for who should do the shechita? So the simple teretz that there's a number of terutzim that the Mefarshim suggest. One teretz that they suggest is that it didn't have to be done by a kohen. But if it was done by a kohen, then they did a goyrol who should be the kohen to do it. Others say that, as we've learned, there were situations that there was disputes came out. So to avoid any dispute, they did a goyrol. Another teretz is that even though the halacha is that shechit is ksheir bizar, l'chatchilat should be done by a kohen, and since l'chatchilat should be done by a kohen, they did a goyrol who should be that kohen. An interesting teretz that I saw that the Tiferes Yisrael suggests is that the goyrol was done that who should be the kohen to do the shechita. But once that goyrol was done and the kohen won that position, he had a right to be mechabed, to give that job over to Yisrael, which really opens up a whole new discussion. What does the goyrol accomplish? Does the goyrol accomplish that this is now, so to speak, the property of the kohen who won the goyrol? And if he wants to transfer it by shechita to Yisrael, by another avoider to another kohen, he may do so? Or that the goyrol doesn't mean that he becomes now the full-fledged, so to speak, owner of that position, that he could transfer it elsewhere? Mi ha-shaychet, who should do the shechita? Mi ha-zoyrik, who should do the zrikas hadam? The Mefarshim say that included in zrikas hadam is the Kabbalah, but the main point of the Kabbalah and the Halacha is really for the zrikas hadam, and therefore it's called mi ha-zoyrik. Furthermore, as a very big machloikas, the person who won the first position, was it that he did the shechita, did the zrika? Some of Farshim follow the sequence of our Mishnah, that the first job done is the shechita, and therefore he got the right to do the shechita. Other Mefarshim say that since the entire purpose of bringing a carbon, the culmination of the carbon is the zrikas adam, that's what affects the kapara, therefore whoever won, so to speak, who got the first position, used that winning position to do zrikas adam. Mi medashim is beich apnimi, who will do the Dishim is Becha Pnimi, clearing out the Dishim is Becha Pnimi, which we'll speak about later in today's Shir, Mitzvah Shem. a mi medashanus menorin, who will get the position, who will get the job of clearing out the menorah. The Mefarshim discuss that it seems that the Dishim is Be'ech HaPnimi and the Dishim HaMenorah took place before the Shechit and the Zrik of the Karban Tamid from the Mishnais that we're going to learn today. So shouldn't the Dishim is Be'ech HaPnimi and Dishim HaMenorah come first? Whoever won the first job should do Dishim is Be'ech HaPnimi and the other one doing the Dishim HaMenorah. So I saw a number of terutzim to this question as well. One pshat is that no, that the Zrika, the Shechit of the Zrika of the Karban Tamid actually took place before the Dishim is Be'ech HaPnimi and the Dishim HaMenorah. Another teretz I saw is that they actually took place at the same time. And a third teretz is, yes, the Dishim is Be'ech HaPnimi and the Dishim HaMenorah took place before the Shechit and the Zrika of the Karban Tamid. But since the main purpose of all of these girls was for the Karban Tamid, and that was the avodah that everybody wanted to participate in, so therefore, even though if we follow the order, Dishim is Be'ech HaPnimi and Dishim HaMenorah came first, the primary winners, so to speak, got to do Shechit and Zrika. Then they had a girl for Mimal Averim Lekevis. As we're going to learn, in Mitzvah Shem, tomorrow's shir, we know that the Torah HaKadoshah says that the Karban Oila for Nitach Oisov and Nesachov should be cut into pieces. And there was a position, the first position, there's no machloikas about this, was that different kahanim were appointed to carry different parts of the animal to the lower half of the rim. What happens afterwards, where ultimately it's brought to the top of the Mizbeach and burnt, was it other kahanim, was it the same kahanim, we'll speak about later in the Masechta Be'ezer Hashem. But the first girl was, who's going to carry these different evarim to the rim? And the Mishnah explains, the first kahanim carried haroish for regel shlimin, the head and the right hind leg. Shtei ayadayim, the next kahanim carried the two forelegs. Ha'oikitz, the next one carried the tail. Ha'oikitz for regel shlimin, the tail and the back hind leg, left hind leg. Hachaza v'agera, the next one carried the chest and the neck. V'shtei defanois, the next one carried the two flanks. The next kind carried harkabayim, the intestines. V'asoilus, we know that with every carbon included the carbon tamid, shalshachar, they brought along the carbon mincha. So the next kind brought, was the one that carried the soilus. There's a machloikis amongst the mefarshim. Was it only his job to carry the soilus, but he wasn't the one to be makar of the soilus? Furthermore, everybody agrees that he carried the soilus. There were no two stages here. The soilus was carried to the top of the mizbeach. But the question was he the one to be makar of the soilus or someone else? Chavitim. We know that the Kohen Gadol brought every day a minchas chavitim, which was made up of 12 loaves that were prepared in a specific manner, as we learned in Masechet Menachos. Machtzisam b'boker, machtzisam ben abayim. 6 loaves were offered in the morning. 6 loaves were offered in the afternoon. There was a kohen who had the position of carrying up the chavitim. Certainly the Mefarshim explained that the hakrova of the chavitim was done by the kohen gadol. And then, vayayin, that there was the wine of the Michas Nesachim that came along with the Karban Tamid. Here too, it seems that most Mefarshim say that the kohen that won this position didn't just carry the Yayin up to Mizbeach, but he's actually the one that did the Nisach HaYayin. But of course, we also know that the halacha is that the kohen gadol noitel chelek b'roish, and if the kohen gadol so chooses to do any avoida, he takes precedence and may do so. Hefisu zochem isha zochem. And I saw 2 pshatim in this line of the Mishnah. One pshat is, going back to something that we spoke about earlier in the shir, that they only did one geira. Zochem isha zochem, the winner, whoever won, won. And then they didn't do any more geiras. The rest of the positions were just given to the people who followed him that were standing next to him to the right. Another pshat that I saw, the Tiferes Yisrael suggests, Zochem Isha Zochem, that the Goyal isn't just, the Mishnah is saying, that the Goyal isn't just mazel, it isn't just luck, but it's Minashamayim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to have this position. Then Amalei Memuna. Then the Memuna said to them, Tzu uru'u imigiyu zman shechita. It's the time to go out to see if the zman shechita came. Because the halacha is that shechita may not be done before the alois hashachar. So he told them to please go out and look. And the Mefarshim say, it was specifically said, Beloshen Rabim, Tzu uru'u, because this isn't a position given to any one specific kohen. All of them, and many of them, in fact, may go out at the same time to look. Im higia, if indeed it was a lois hashachar, haroya omer bakoi. Whoever saw it says that the sky is lit up, it's already a lois hashachar, and we could do this avoida. Nashi ben Shmuel omer, Nashi ben Shmuel ever says, heir pnei kol ha-mizrach, that the entire eastern side become already light, and atchu b'chevron, and he asked, they become light all the way to chevron, and they said yes. So there's a very fundamental machlokes in understanding what, how to understand Mashim and Shmuel. Some Rishonim explain that there is no machlokes here. Rather, the Mishnah is bringing an example. Mashim and Shmuel was a mamunah, and the Mishnah is bringing an example of what happened once. How did Mashim and Shmuel conduct this interview to see if the time for bringing the carbon came? But there is no machlokes. Other Rishonim, however, explain that there's indeed a machlokes here. The Tanna Kamma says that as long as he says that the sky is light, bakoi, it's good enough. Well, Masri ben Shmuel disagrees. The Masri ben Shmuel wasn't just a mamuna, he was also a Tanna. And he's saying, just saying that it's light is inadequate. It has to be Heir Pnei Kol HaMizrach Ad Shebechevri. And that, and only that, is acceptable in determining if you could start bringing the Karbonis. According to the man, the Omer, that there's actually a Machloikis, what is this Machloikis about? Because everybody agrees that the Avoida was done from Alois HaShachar. The Avoida, you didn't have to wait for the Nates. The question is, how close to the Alois HaShachar could they begin to do the Avoida? According to Tanna Kamma, they could do it immediately after the Alois HaShachar. According to Masri ben Shmuel, it has to be later. Furthermore, the Mefarshim asked that the Gemara says that wherever the Alochi is, that wherever the Alochi is, that something has to be done by day. The Gemara believes that it's Masechta Brachos says you should only do it after the Nates. And he was saying it was done by the Alois. Closer or further, but how can we do it by the Alois? The Mefarshim say, really day is at Alois. Why do Chazal say that something that should be done during the day should only be done after the Nates? For we're concerned that if you're going to do it before, you may do it even before the Alois. It's a gzeira. But in the base of Migdush, ain't shvus b'migdush, we have no reason to make these gzeiras. And therefore the halacha is it could already be done from the, it could already be done from the Alois. Interesting Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that how could you trust one kohen to say that it was light? You can't trust one person. So Rishami says, because this is a milsa David levruri, it's something that we could check. Because if the kohen says it's already light, we could always check if what he's saying is true, and therefore we need not be concerned that he's saying something which isn't true. But the Rishami asks, how can we check? Maybe by the time we go and check on him, it's light. But when he said it was light, it really wasn't light. So Rishami answers, you could tell if it just became light, or it's already light for a while. And that's why, by him saying it was light, we could figure out what's happening here. Continues Rabbi Cheskel Brabsky to ask, why does the Yerushalmi have this back and forth that we could trust him if it's a Milsa Avida Levruri? Don't we have a klal that Eid Echad Nemen B'Yisurim? And he's a Eid Echad, so should we be able to trust him? Answers Rabbi Cheskel Brabsky, normally there's a rule of Eid Echad Nemen B'Yisurim. But here, this is a chazaka that it was dark. Eid Echad is not believed connected a chazaka against the chazaka. Now the Mefarshim discuss why did it have to be light all the way to Chevron. Why did Masri ben Shmuel mention all the way to Chevron? And the two answers. One answer is, again, as we said, they wanted to really be sure that it's light. So if they were able to see that it's light all the way to Chevron, That's proof that it's certainly a Loisa Shachar, because the Gemara indeed tells us there was a situation where they thought it was light and it wasn't, and they ended up bringing the Karmat Tam before the Loisa Shachar, which is possible. But the other Teretz, the Gemara Masech the Yuma teaches us, because they wanted to mention the Schus Ovis. We know that the Maris Machpelah is in Chevron, we have Ram Yitzchak and Yaakov, and the Maris are buried. So they wanted to mention the Schus Ovis. And the Mefarshim explain, it's so critical to mention the Schus Ovis as we begin the Avodah, because one pshat is that who was the first to bring Kabbanis, the Ovis? Who was the one that was Mesak and Tefillah Shachris? Avram Avinu, to which the Talmud Shel Shachar is connected. So that's why we want to mention the Schus Ovis. But I saw that the Mefarshim say there's really even a deeper pshat to it. As we approach bringing the Kabbanis, and as we know, the Kabbanis bring Kapara to Klal Yisrael. What is the way that a person can be worthy of Kapara? The way a person can be worthy of Kapara is by doing and emulating our Ovis. There's a Gemara, which is the Halacha. The Halacha in Masech Brachos is that at what point could you daven? Mishiyakas Chaveroi, until you could recognize your friend, the Abba Amos. If it's that light that you could already recognize your friend, you could daven or you could put on tzitzis. So the question is, what does that have to do with this man? Of why is Mishiyakar? Because what does Mishiyakar mean? Mishiyakar means that you recognize a person. It's not necessarily a person, as the Gemara Masech Brachos explains, that you know that well. Because if it's a person that you're very friendly with, you probably could recognize him at the dark. To teach us that how does a person approach tefillah? Mishiyakar. He thinks about another person. That's why the minig is that before a person davens, he gives staka, ani b'tzedek, echze panecha. Again, emulating Avram Avinu, who was the paradigm of chesed. Emulating our ovis. There's a famous story that somebody once wrote a pirush on the siddur. And he came to the gra and asked for haskama on that siddur. The Gra opened up the Siddur, and the first Vatara that he saw in the Siddur was that why do we begin to feel with Adon Olam? Because Shachris was instituted by Avram Avinu, and the Gemara says, Lohaya Adam Shnikra Kadosh Baruch Adon. There was no one that called Kadosh Baruch Adon at Shabbat Avram Avinu until Avram Avinu called him Adon. So that's why when we begin Shachris, we say Adon Olam. So the Gra said, this is such a great word. Shachris, Avram Avinu, Adon Olam, for this alone the Siddur is worth getting my haskama. But the story goes even further, interestingly. When this story, it's a very famous story, was said over to the Brisker Rav, so the Brisker Rav asked, it's a very nice pshat, it's an emes pshat, but there's no great chiddush in this pshat. For that you give haskama, what's the big chiddush in this pshat? So the Brisker Rav at that time said, a good pshat doesn't necessarily mean that's a chiddush. A good pshat means that it's emes, that it's true. And this is exactly what our Mishnah is saying. We begin our tefillah by mentioning our ovis, emulating our ovis, Adon Olam. There's a very nice word from the Ma'ariv Shemesh. The Ma'ariv Shemesh quotes the Noam Elimelech. The Noam Elimelech says that sometimes we find the Mishnah uses the word hein, and sometimes we find the Mishnah doesn't use the word hein. He says, for example, there's a Mishnah beginning in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, Abba Rosh Hashanah Hain. There are four Rosh Hashanahs in the year. There's a Mishnah Masech Baba Kama. Again, the first Mishnah. Abba Ovis Nazikin. Doesn't say Hain. Why does it here say Hain and where not? So Noam Elimelech said that wherever we want something to continue, that it's something we want, we say Hain. Where we don't want it necessarily to continue, it doesn't say Hain. Abba Rosh Hashanah, we want the Bruch of Rosh Hashanah to go through the whole year. Hain. The Zikin we don't want, so we don't say Hain. So he says, that's Pshat in our Mishnah. What are we mentioning Chevron, as we just said, to mention the Schus Ovis? So he says, Hain, we want that the Schus Ovis shall last for us for all generations. Amlehen, so then this Mamuna, now that it's the time to do the Karban Tamid, and as the Mefarshim say, they purposely did not go to get the animal until the time for bringing the animal already came. For they were concerned, if you're going to go too early, you may end up being makriv the carbon too early, which we just said would disqualify the carbon. But now that it's already the time, Amram Tzvu Vavili, Tlem Melishkas HaTlaim. Bring me an animal, a sheep from the Lishkas HaTlaim, says the Mishnah, Varei Lishkas HaTlaim, Nesuna B'Mekzoy Tzvainas Maravis. The Lishkas HaTlaim, where these animals were kept, was in the northwest corner of the Azara. And the Mishnah says, Arba Lishkas HaYisham, there were four chambers, Achash Lishkas HaTlaim, one where the animals were kept, Achad Lishkas HaSamis, when somebody had to bring a carbon mincha, so they didn't want that people should bring their own ingredients from home. There's a concern about the tahara of those ingredients. So the system was that you came to the Beis HaMikdash, every type of carbon mincha had a price, you paid whatever the price was, and you got a chaysim, you got a receipt. And then you went to the kohen and he gave you the ingredients. So there was Lishkas Chesamis, Achas Lishkas Beis HaMoikid, and the way the Mefarshim explain is as follows. These four chambers that we're now discussing were all in a building, so to speak, that was called the Lishkas Beis HaMoikid. Why was it called Lishkas Beis HaMoikid? Because there was a fire in the middle of this big room. Kohanim walked on the cold marble floor of the Beis HaMikdash barefoot, so they would get cold, so that's where they went to warm up. But in that Lishkas Beis HaMoikid, in that big compound, there was one room that was called the Lishkas Beis HaMoikid. Why is it called Lishkas Beis HaMoikid? So I saw a number of pshatim. One pshat is because that's where they kept the fire to light the big fire in the middle. Or another pshat is they kept the different instruments they needed to keep the fire going. Another pshat is that in the big room in the middle, in the big fire in the middle, so somebody was working in the Beis HaMikdash, got cold, and the Azara quickly walked in there, warmed himself up, and went back out. But there was a mikveh, a cold mikveh. If you really got cold, you went to the Lishkas Beis HaMoikid, you went down into that cold, you went into this room after going to the cold mikveh to warm up. V'achad Lishkas Shaisim Lechem upon him. Another was a room where they made the Lechem upon him. Continued the Mishnah. Nichnasu Lishkas HaKelim. There was a chamber where they kept the various instruments that they needed for the Avoida. And Yitzu Misham Tishim V'Shloisha Kli Kesev Kli Zov. They took out 93 instruments. Why 93? The simple pshat is because that's the amount of instruments they needed. Another pshat is that in the Nevuah of Chagi Zechariah Melochi, the Shem Hashem is mentioned 93 times. Another pshat is we look at the pasuk, very connected to what I said a few moments ago, of Yov Avram, Lishchanes Benoi, there are 93 letters in those pasukim, and all of the Atam Chol Shachar is, as we've been learning, connected to Avram Avinu. Hishkus atamid, the kois shalzov. They gave the animal to drink from a golden cup. Why did they give the animal to drink before? Tup shot them, either because it's easier to skin the animal if it drank before it was slaughtered, or if there are circus on the lung of the animal, those circus come off easier. And we learned in our previous year that there's a machlaikis if it was indeed a golden cup. It was just a shiny copper cup that looked like gold. Furthermore, I saw a beautiful vart from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. The Gemara says they gave him to drink in a golden cup. And the Gemara we learned in the previous shiur said, why gold cup? You're giving an animal to drink out of a gold cup. Ein anias b'makom ashiris. So he says a beautiful pshat. He says, we know that the most expensive metal is gold. What does this teach us? That when somebody comes to Beis HaMikdash, even if he did a Maisa Behema, he acted like an animal, but if he does tshuva, he could end up to being like a Koshel Zav, he could end up being gold. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, Afapi Shemuvukim Be'erif, the halacha is, as we learn from the Korban Pesach, we discussed the Masechet Pesachim, that all animals that were used for carbon had to be separated to 4 days before, so these animals as well, the halach is mevakan oisol or avukas. They re-inspected it right, this animal now, right before they're going to offer it, by torchlight so they could see. So the machloikis, if this examination now in the morning was absolutely essential, which is really connected to another machloikis of what happened during these 4 days. Did during these 4 days they do constant investigation? If they did constant examination of the animal, so yes, you should l'chatchil inspect it now, but if you didn't, it's fine. If, however, there wasn't constant examination during those 4 days, those rishonim say that you would have to check it now, and if you didn't, it would be disqualified. The Mefarshim point out that we're going to come back to what happened to the Tamid. This Mishnah, these are separate Mishnais, if you look in the Mishnah, is sort of out of order. It says the Mishnah, Misha Zok B'dishim is Be'ech HaPnimi, or B'dishim HaMenoira, whoever won the right to clear out the Mizbech HaPnimi and the Dishim HaMenoira, Hoy Magdimim, again, we spoke about earlier, was it before or at the same time as this was done, V'dal Kalim B'yodim, and they walked into the Beis HaMikdash carrying 4 Kalim. Hateni is a basket in which they put the ash. Vakuz is a jug that was used for the menorah that we're going to describe in a moment. V'shnei Mafteches, and 2 keys. And the Mishnah explains the purpose of every one of these Kalim. Hateni Doim L'Tarkav Shazov. The teni looks like a golden basket that could hold 3, that could hold machzik kabayim v'chetzi, that could hold 2.5 kav of ash. Hakuv, the jug, doim l'kitin gadol shazov, looks like a large gold pitcher, and there's a machloik is what it was used for. One shot is that it had oil in it, and as we're going to learn at the end of the perek, they used to refill the menorah at times, so this is where they had the oil to refill. Others say just the opposite. Not all the candles were refilled. So the candles that had leftover oil that they're not going to relight now, and they're not going to use that oil at night again, so what did they do with leftover oil? The oil was kiddush. They took that oil and poured it into the jug, and they had the jug, as we'll learn, had a very narrow opening, because they wanted to be careful that none of that oil should be spilled out. It's oil that's kiddush. And they carry 2 keys. Achat shuyorid ba'amas ha'sachi, one that was carried under the armpit, v'achat shupaseach, and one was used to open the door. And there's a very fundamental machloikas rishonim. What does this mean that there were 2 keys? Doesn't mean that we're going to learn there was a small door through which they entered to go into the Beis HaMikdash. And that door had two locks. One with a key that you need a base of sachi, and one that you just used. Or, many Rishonim learned, that every door had 1 lock. But from the door they went into a tof aleph, that's a cell, and from the cell they went to the echo. So 1 lock was on the door, and 1 lock was on the cell. What does it mean that it was by the armpit? So they explain that the lock was from the inside, and you had to stick this key, which was like on a long piece of metal, from the inside and open it from the inside. Bala lepispas atzfoni, and you came to the northern small door, north of the major opening, and says the Mishnah, shnei pispisim hayolei l'shar gadol, the main entrance to the Beis HaMikdash actually had 2 of these small doors, achas b'tzofen, one was to the north of the main entrance, v'achas b'dorim, and one was to the south of the main entrance. Says the Mishnah, shebedorim lo nichnas by Adam me'olam. The small door that was on the south side, nobody entered. For says the Mishnah, all of whom afarish ayde Yecheskel, regarding this door, does Yecheskel Hanuvi say, shenemar, v'yoymer Eli Hashem, hasher hazeh sogiyah, this door should be closed, lo yiposech, it should never be opened, V'ish al yovaboy, no one should enter it, kashem elokei Yisrael boy bo. That's the door for Hashem. So the Mefarshim point out, v'yesog, it should remain closed. So Mefarshim point out that this pasuk in Yecheskel doesn't actually speak about the second base of Mikdash or the first base of Mikdash. It speaks about the third base of Mikdash. So how do we use this pasuk to teach us what happened by one of the previous Batei Mikdash? So Farshim say that what is the purpose of this pasuk, and what's the pasuk teaching us that this door should always remain closed? There's a tremendous lesson in this pasuk. The lesson of this pasuk is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu entered the Beis HaMikdash. Kavayochel, his Shechina dwells in the Beis HaMikdash. And once his Shechina dwelled in the Beis HaMikdash, it remains there forever. And it already came there by the second Beis HaMikdash. And Yechezkel tells us that Kavayochel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina entered the Beis HaMikdash through this door, and it remains there forever. And therefore, since that's the place where the Shechina is, we have no right to enter. But there's a tremendous lesson here, that the Beis HaMikdash is the place of the Shechina of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Furthermore, the Mefarshim say that even though the Mishnah is very clear in teaching us that one may not open that door to enter the Beis HaMikdash through that door, there were times where that door opened by itself on Rosh Chodeshim and Yom Tovim. And again, the lesson was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyok was showing us that His Shechina is amongst us. If we don't open it, it's fine. Continues the Mishnah. Natal as a maftayach, he takes the key, or pasach as a pishpish, and opens the door. There's a machloikis in the mefarshim. Was it the It's clear that it was the kohanim who transported the key. The question is, who did the actual opening of the door? Was it the kohanim who opened the door, or was it the kohanim who gave it to the levium to open the door? Pasach as a pishpish, opened the door. V'nichnas latar, and he went into that cell. U'metar lahechel, and then he ultimately entered in the Beis HaMikdash. Ad shemegil l'shar ha'godl, until he came to the main entrance. Hegia l'shar ha'godl. Once they enter the main entrance, heveres hanagavas of apostles, there was a bolt on that shar ha'godl, and poschan they opened up that main entrance. Says the Mishnah, lo yishoichet ha'shoichet, the shoichet was not allowed to shecht the carbon, until he hears the Shar HaGadol opening. Because the Gemara teaches us in Masechta Erechin, based on a pasuk in Parshas VeYikra, Pesach Oil Moed, the Torah teaches us by Karban Shlomim, that you're not allowed to shecht the Karban Shlomim, Pesach Oil Moed, until the Oil Moed, until the door of the Beis HaMikdash is open. And here is a machlokes how to understand our Mishnah. Some of Farshim explain that although that pasuk is speaking about a carbon shlomim, the pasuk isn't teaching us that that's the halach only by a carbon shlomim. Rather, the pasuk is teaching us that that is the halach by all kabbanas, that a carbon may not be slaughtered until the door of the Beis HaMikdash is open. That's one pshat. Another pshat is that pasuk, the din midaraisa, is only by a carbon shlomim. But Chazal made exera that not only a carbon shlomim may not be slaughtered until the door is open, that all kabbanas should have the same halacha. So says the Mishnah. Miyirichai hayishayim kol shar hagol shenifteh. The Mishnah now will give us a whole list of events that the noise was so loud that they heard it all the way to Yirichai. And there's a very fundamental discussion amongst the Mefarshim how to understand our Mishnah. Because there's a question to be understood. The Mishnah is saying that these events that we're going to learn now made noise, and they heard the noise all the way to Yirichai. The question is, why does it say Yirichai? Whatever distance there is from the Beis HaMikdash to Yerushalayim, that's the distance the Mishnah should say they were able to hear. Why does it say Yirichai? So there are two very different approaches to understanding this. One approach is that Yirichai, to the direction from the Beis HaMikdash to Yirichai, there weren't such tall mountains, and therefore they could hear what happened to Beis HaMikdash all the way to Yirichai. In the other directions, there were tall mountains around Yerushalayim, and that's why the noise didn't travel. So according to that pshat, what our Mishnah is now going to list that they heard doesn't represent the nais. It was, they heard in Yirichai because of the distance and the noise. But there's another pshat, that specifically only in Yirichai did they hear these different events, because Yirichai, we know, as we learned in Sefer Yeshua, was the first city in Eretz Yisrael that was captured. So Yirichai had this Kedusha, and therefore in Yirichai and Yirichai alone did they hear these different events. Other places that might have been closer didn't have the nais that they could hear. There's actually a very interesting tshuva from the Pri HaSada based on this Mishnah. We know that the minhag, it's a minhag quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, is that Purim, when the Megillah is read, and they come to the name of Haman, people make noise. And it's interesting, this is the only place in Shulchan Aruch Aruchayim where Rama says, Ein levatel shum minhag. You shouldn't change any minhag in Klal Yisrael. So the Priya Sada was asked by a group of people that were davening in a Beis HaKnesses and a shul, and there were Baruch Hashem, Ken Yirbu, a lot of Jewish children, making noise. And the question that he was asked was that, this noise that's being made bothers them. So maybe they should make a rule that they shouldn't make noise, or maybe they should make a rule that they should be able to go daven elsewhere where they won't clap by humming. So Priya Sada says, look at our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that in the Beis HaMikdash, there was so much noise that it traveled all the way to Yericho. So sometimes, noise in a shul is beautiful. And that's why Dafka by this minig, explained the Mefarshim, says the Rama, if you're going to think that to be a Mevatel minig, Ein Levatel Shem minig, sometimes making noise is appropriate. So says the Mishnah, they heard when this door opened. One of the musical instruments that the Levim used was a magrefa. It was a musical instrument that looked like a shovel that had in it 10 holes. Each hole made 10 different sounds, and they could hear all the way to Yerichai. Yerichai Yishamim called Ben Arzan Bakish Betzeltzel. Ben Arzan was the Levi who was in charge of banging the cymbal. They could hear all the way to Yerichai. Yerichai Yishamim called a Chalil. The Gemara teaches us that at certain days of the year, certain Yom time, they play with a flute. When they play with the flute, they could hear all the way to Yerichai. Yerichai Yishamim called Gvini Cruz. Gvini Cruz was the individual who would awaken the Kahanim Levim in the morning, and they could hear him all the way to Yerichai. Gvini Cruz, the Mefarshim say, was the first person who had this job of waking up the Kahanim in the morning, and therefore all future people who had this job were called Gvini Cruz. We know that any water or any liquid that's left exposed overnight in the Beis HaMikdash becomes possible with lina. So the kir was full of water. So what they used to do was, Ben Buchni made a pulley system where the entire kir was submerged underground overnight. And in the morning they pulled it up, and from that cranking up they heard the noise all the way to Yerichai. Mirichin kala shir, when the Levim sang they heard it in Yerichai. Mirichai Hashem kal shayfer, every day they blew the shayfer 21 times in the Beis HaMikdash, they heard that sound all the way to Yerichai. V'yayish I'm af kala shakayin godl, Shumaskus Hashem, B'yom Kippurim. Machlok is how to understand this. We know, we say it in the Avodah Yom Kippur when we daven Musaf, that Kesha Kain Gadol, Hayomer, when the Kain Gadol would say the Shem Hashem B'kdush V'tara, everybody said Baruch Shem K'vayim Achusa L'Oyim Avod. So some of Farshim explain that when the Kain Gadol said the Shem Hashem, it was so loud they could hear it all the way to Yerichai. Others say the Kain Gadol's voice wasn't so loud, but rather what it represents is that when everybody, as we say in the Avodah, said Baruch Shem Kvoy Machus Elohim Avod, and there was a large crowd in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Azara, all saying it, that was such a large sound that they heard it all the way to Yerichai. Yerichai Yemarich and Reich Pitim Ektairis. And the smell, the fragrance of the Pitim Ektairis could be felt all the way to Yerichai. Some say that that's a raya, that this is not a nace. Just this fragrance went. Others say that no, the Mishnah is telling us a nace, because the Mishnah is saying, Aron v'Elazar the Goloi, Izim Hayu La'Aba Ba'ari HaMichver. Some say that that's the city of Yazir, that's mentioned in the Torah. V'Yismas Achis Merech Pit Mektiris. Izim represents the Yetzahara, the Shadim, and they were destroyed through the Ketiris. Says the Mishnah, Misha Zoch B'Tamid, whoever won the right to bring the Karmat Tamid, Mashchai, would go all the way to where it was slaughtered. Machlokes, if the place was an enclosed area, as the word Beis HaMikdash seems to imply, or was an open area. Whoever will have the right that we discussed at the beginning of the shiur to carry the different avrim of the carbon oil, would walk along with him. Says the Mishnah, Beis HaMikdash, it was the north of the Mizbeach. because as we know, the halacha is that all kachet kachim, which the Tamid Shel Shachar is certainly in that category, had to be slaughtered in the north side of the Mizbeach. So that's why they already made the Beis HaMitzrayim for all kabbalists on the north of the Mizbeach. For all of Ches Amudim Nanosim, there were 9 not such tall pillars. Revoim Shel Erez Lagabeim, on top of each one of these pillars, there were a square piece of wood. Vunkelos Shel Barzel HaYikvur Mehem, with metal hooks. The Gilmos Sodarim L'Kol Echad V'Echad, and each one of them was in a row of 3. Shebehen Toilin U'Mafshitim, that on these pillars, they would hang and strip the carbon. Asher Shulchanos Shai Shebehen Amudim, they had marble tables between these different pillars. Says the Mishnah, going back to what we spoke about earlier, Misha Zocha B'Disha Mizbeach HaPnimi, whoever won the right to clear out the Mizbeach HaPnimi, Nichnas V'Notlos HaTeni, took the basket, V'Nich Lefanov, carried it in front of him, V'Hoyfen V'Nois Notoichai, he cleared off the ash from the Mizbeach HaPnimi into this basket, U'Bachroin HaKibet HaSashar, when he came down to the last drop of ash, he cleaned it off, L'Toichai. So the Machlokes, what does L'Toichai mean? Some say that he had like a small broom that he used to clear off the Mizbeach HaPnimi into that basket. Others say, like the Shtavit discusses this pshat, that just like we learned in the previous parak, that after Trumas Hadeshen, there was a pile of ash left on the Mizbeach HaChitzin, so too on the Mizbeach HaPnimi, they didn't take off all of the ash. Some of the ash remained there. And after he finished doing that, Avoida, he left the basket there and he walked out. Says the Mishnah further, Misha Zocha B'Dishan HaMenorah, the one who won the right to do Dishan HaMenorah, Nichnas U'Matzah Beis Neres Marovas Dalton. Actually, there's a machloikis exactly in which direction was the menorah standing. Was it from east to west, in the east-west direction, or north-south direction? And the Mefarshim explained that everybody seems to agree that our Mishnah follows the opinion that the menorah was in the east-west direction. He found some of these candles still burning. B'dashen Sashar, U'menichenes Elu Dolkim U'mekoimam. The halacha is 2 halachas. One halacha is you're not allowed to clear out less than 2 candles at a time. And there's another halacha that you can't, it's all based on psukim, obviously, that you can't clear out all of the 7 candles at the same time. So what happened was, first they cleared out 5, that's the avoda we're speaking about now, then they had an interruption, and then they cleared out the other 2. Matzon shekavu, if the 2 candles, the Ner Maravi, always remained lit, if he found it extinguished, medashnon, so he was careful to clear out the ash that might have been floating on top of the candle, madlikim and adolkim, and he lit them from any other candle that might have been still burning. Of course, if there were no candles burning, then the halacha is that they took fire from the Mizbeach. The Mefarshim discussed, there's a beautiful vart from Yisachar Doiv, the Belzer Rebbe. The halacha of lighting the menorah is at night, Bein Arbaim, not in the morning. Here we're learning in our Mishnah that if there were no candles burning, if the Ner Maravi, until a certain point we know there was a nes, that the Ner Maravi always remained lit. But at a certain point of our history, that changed. And if the menorah went out, still in the morning they lit it. So the question is that he asks, on Shabbos, that you're allowed to light the menorah, even though it's Chil Shabbos, because that's the Avoida. But in the morning, that's not the Avoida. So how in a time when you came in Shabbos morning and you found the light candle extinguished, were you allowed to light it on Shabbos? So he says a beautiful vart. Even at the point in our history where the Ner HaMaravi was not always remained lit, even at that point of our history, the halacha, the mitzias was that on Shabbos it always remained lit, that we shouldn't have a problem with Shabbos, of Chil Shabbos. And then he worked with the other 5 candles of cleaning them out. For Evan Heislefnei Menorah, there was a step in front of Menorah, or Bar Gimel Malos, on which there were 3 steps. Shaleh Koyin Oymid Omeit of Senorahs, on which the Koyin stood when he cleared out the Menorah. Umaniach is a koz, and he put this jog al ma'al shni on the second step for yotza. So first of all, there's a machlaik. First of all, the mafarshim explained why was it a marble step? Because we know, we spoke about it earlier in our masechta, that you're not allowed to make a wood structure in the base of Mikdash. So it had to be made out of stone. Why isn't it a chatzitza between the avoida and the floor? We learned in Masechta Zvachim that the kohen has to be standing on the floor. So there are three terutz. One terutz is that only during the hatova did the kohen stand on the steps. So he should really be able to get a good look and clean it out. During that lucky, he didn't stand on the steps. Another terutz is that the Torah wants that there should be three steps. The Torah uses the word behalos three times to teach us that this is part of the structure of the building of the Beis HaMikdash. And the third teretz is that it was mechubel karka, it was connected to the ground, and it was the same material of the ground, stone, that's why it's not considered a chatzitza. Why did they put it on the second step? Because on the top step he had a stand, and he had to have other kalim, so they had no room, so they put it on the second step. Other mefarshim say that why were the three steps? The three steps represent the three amudim, which the world stands on, Torah of Avoid of Gemilas Chassadim. A kohen should be worthy, has to be a kohen that is excels in Torah of Avoid of Gemilas Chassadim. And I saw a beautiful pshat from the Cheshav Sofer. The Cheshav Sofer says that this thing that there had to be steps in front of Menorah, we learn Rashi says, at the beginning of Baharshas Ba'aloyscha, Ba'aloyscha Saneiris, Malahoyel Fnei Menorahs. But if we look in Rashi, says the Cheshav Sofer, Rashi says two pshatim on Ba'alos Chasanayus. One pshat Rashi says is that there were steps, as our Mishnah says, in front of the menorah. And another pshat is that you shall light the menorah until it goes up by itself. So he says these two pshatim are very connected. He says there are times that a person wants to learn Torah, the person that wants to do a mitzvah, but he doesn't know if he's going to be successful. So he doesn't want to begin. What's the point? So he says that the menorah represents Torah. Ne mitzvah v'Torah or Torah. So that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to go up the steps. Ba'alos Chasanayus, it's our job to go up the steps to do what we can. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us that if we will go up the steps, that we will expend the effort to learn Torah, to try to understand as Torah, the Torah of Hashem, we will have the siyata d'shmaya that our Torah, we will be successful in our learning.